World Cup. Every 4 years it's the World Cup. If you don't pick up a grunge shirt in the build-up, then we'll love it when you score a goal.
Ooh, did you see that?
World Cup. It might all end in tears or a headbutt. You can follow all the blogging on your laptop. From Slovenia to Slovakia, from Nigeria to the Cote d'Ivoire.
Ooh, Cote d'Ivoire.
The Guardian and Observer, packed with World Cup coverage every day.
The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to Tech Weekly from The Guardian. I'm not Alex Grotowski. No, instead I'm Jemima Kish and I'm sitting in for Dr. Crott while she gets some volleyball action in the West Country, not that I'm jealous or anything. In a subtly curtailed programme, this week we hear from the writer of a new series of Doctor Who games for the PC and Mac.
Have you ever wanted to take on the Daleks or the Cybermen? Well, this is your chance. Welcome to Doctor Who, the adventure games. This is your chance to play as the new Doctor for the very first time, but don't worry, I'm coming along too. Good luck, and I'll see you in the game.
Does it do justice to the television series, or is it a spin-off too far for the Time Lord? Keith Stewart steps into the TARDIS to find out. Also on the show, Robert Andrew from Paid Content catches up with Josh Williams from location-based social network Gowalla to ask him about competition with Foursquare and the talk of takeovers. All that, plus this week's biggest news stories coming up in Tech Weekly from The Guardian. If you're a games developer, you could hardly ask for a better baddie to write for than the Daleks. Doctor Who's seemingly eternal nemesis is the centre of the story in the first of the BBC's games featuring the travelling Time Lord. But are there any benefits of writing the series as a game rather than a TV series? Phil Ford has written for Doctor Who, as well as the spin-offs Sarah Jane Adventures and Torchwood. He spoke to Keith recently and explained how he became involved in the project, despite having no background in games.
I guess they asked me because I'd just done the last Doctor Who animated adventure, Dreamland. And I've got a background in doing animation as well, because way back when I wrote most of the Gerry Anderson New Captain Scarlet series. So I've done a fair bit of animation. So I'm guessing that's probably why. And I suppose partly because I'm not a gamer, I'm kind of wondering, well, how's this going to work? But it's been interesting to do it, because it's effectively writing episodes of Doctor Who. You know, the idea has always been that the interactive episodes would feel like episodes that you would watch on television. So the style of narrative, the quality of narrative, had to be the same. So that was why it was interesting to do, and who's going to turn down the opportunity of writing the Daleks, you know? But it was interesting because you have to kind of learn all that stuff about how games work, and also the restrictions that you only have so many scenes, and those scenes have to be relatively quick. And if you get to write those scenes and get in what you need to get into them in order to tell the story, but also bear in mind that cut scenes in games have to be fairly short, it was kind of a baptism of fire as well. So it's a good challenge.
Did you find that you almost learn anything about storytelling from this experience at all?
I think it's kind of learning that there are always new ways of telling a story. I think that's the big lesson out of this, because I would never really have imagined, you know, doing what feels like and is a genuine Doctor Who adventure through gameplay. But I think that's what happens. I think that the way that the gameplay is used in these interactive episodes actually moves the story on and tells it, and it helps tell the story.
One of the feelings I'm getting from this is that there's a certain amount of excitement among the BBC staff and among the writers about working in worlds which couldn't be envisaged in the TV series. I mean, could you tell me about some of the things you've been able to do as a writer with the games that you've not been able to do with the series?
Well, the big thing is to go to those environments, which just would be impossible to do on the TV show. Obviously, in the first episode, we go to Skaro, the planet of the Daleks, and we see Carlan, which is the city of the Daleks. And we would just never would have been able to have done that in the kind of style that we have done. You wouldn't be able to see Skaro with its raining sulfuric acid from the sky and its pools of sulfur. And it's just such a horrible place. And each story does go to another environment that we would never have been able to have done in the TV show. because the cost would have just been completely prohibitive. And also, yes, a great thing is to actually, for the Doctor to actually walk into the TARDIS and going through those doors, actually it is bigger on the inside than it's on the outside. You know, and no matter how we may try within the TV show, you can never do that in one shot.
There are certain kind of structural similarities between the way that you write, maybe, and the way that games work. There's certain sort of common grounds, and you found that actually some of your technical terms were talking about the same sorts of things.
In technical terms, I'm not so sure, to be quite honest. In terms of beats being beats within games and beats within the story, then absolutely. You know, I mean, there is a certain common ground there between games and a TV show, if you like, because ultimately, within the game is a story.
I'm interested in Matt Smith, because he's been very physicalised in the game.
Yeah.
And I wonder, as a writer working with virtual actors, do you have to take into consideration what Matt's done on screen, not just in terms of plot, but that his physicality and the way he presents the Doctor?
Bearing in mind when we started writing this, I hadn't yet seen Matt play the part. It was only until a fair way into the process that I started seeing the first clips and things from the first episodes that they were making. So to some extent you're kind of writing in the dark, as everybody was who was writing the scripts for the show before Matt actually started playing them. And the way that they talk, the way that they move, the way that they do things, Matt doing his thing with tossing the sonic screwdriver up and catching it, you know, all those things, when you've seen them, you can put into your script.
I can't really ask much, I guess, about the later episodes, because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But in episode one, what was your kind of the key part? What was the bit you really enjoyed about making episode one? Was there one key moment that you really...
Yeah, absolutely. Writing Exterminate. I mean, you know, I was a kid, grew up with the Daleks, and, you know, to do that is just... I can remember the first... When I wrote Exterminate for the first time, it's the first time I've written for the Daleks. It's wonderful.
I don't want to, again, ask about later episodes, but is there anything you've not done in these episodes that if the opportunity came up to do episodes 5 to 8 of Doctor Who, you'd like any enemies or places that you'd like to explore in later games, if you could?
Maybe it would be cool to go take the Doctor back to do a pirate story on the high seas or something like that, which is something that we would never be able to do on the show. So that might be quite cool, actually.
Yeah.
Have the Doctor on the Mary Celeste. Something like that. Yeah, I'd quite like to do that. Do some on the high seas, maybe.
Phil Ford speaking to Keith Stewart, and The City of the Daleks is now available from bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who. Now, here's the news from the last 7 days in tech.
Microsoft has finally unveiled the real name of its motion-sensing video game device, which was previously known as Project Natal. Kinect, which plugs into the Xbox 360 console, uses a video camera and an infrared sensor to track players' actions and converts them into on-screen movement. Microsoft showed clips from several Kinect games during an event at the E3 Games Expo in Los Angeles, including an athletics simulator in which participants have to run and jump to compete in the hurdles, throw an imaginary javelin, and play football with kicking actions. A release is scheduled for the autumn, but Microsoft has so far delayed announcing the price of the device. O2 has announced that it's ending unlimited data plans for users of its smartphones, notably including the iPhone. The mobile operator insisted that 97% of users will not notice the difference, and that its changes were really aimed at about 2,000 users who use extraordinarily high amounts of data. Google has completed a new web indexing system that it calls Caffeine. The update promises 50% fresher results for web searches than Google's last index, and it's the largest collection of web content ever. Google is now linking into real-time Twitter feeds, as well as blogs like WordPress, which have implemented real-time RSS. The search giant claims that if the web was a pile of paper, it would grow 3 miles taller every second, and that the Caffeine update allows it to process this tidal wave of data. And following last week's iPhone 4 announcement, prices for the device have started to leak onto the web. A rogue page on Vodafone's site listed the cheapest tariff for the 16GB smartphone as being £189 on a £25 a month contract over 2 years, though you can get a phone for free if you sign up to their £45 a month deal. This morning, the Apple Store listed the contract-free price for the iPhone as £499 for the 16GB version and £599 if you need all 32GB.
Thanks muchly, and of course, there's more news on the site at guardian.co.uk/tech. Location-based services are the hottest thing to check in this year, and though Foursquare is the biggie, Austin-based Gowalla has won praise and a loyal following for its slick design. Robert Andrews caught up with Gowalla's chief executive, Josh Williams, and started off by asking him to explain what the company's business model is.
We're working at two or three different angles. I mean, we're all about connecting people with the places and events that they love. So we've started working with a handful of brands that are connected to places. Some of them are hotel chains, some of them are restaurants, and then we've got some partnerships with sports brands and products coming out as well. Right now it's still experimental in the sense that every deal has looked a little bit different, and hopefully six right. months from now it'll start to gel and concrete a little bit more like what's ideal for everyone involved.
Larger sites, whether it's a portal like Yahoo or a search engine like Google or Facebook, are also getting into the location game, launching their own things. So you need to differentiate from those guys, or are you complementary?
I think that, you know, most of the Googles and certainly the Facebooks and I think even the Twitters of the world are going to, you know, location's going to become, again, a platform that is just kind of ubiquitous across the web and the mobile web. And we want to provide like a valuable service that sits on top of that. And so ultimately, we're agnostic about where you want to, you know, choose to share your location. We just like to provide a compelling service as it relates to capturing and sharing the places and events that are important to you. Yeah. And hopefully, in the end, we can play friendly with everybody.
And at the startup level, alongside you guys, there's another company in the space that I don't want to use what might be a dirty word. I don't know, but you duked it out together back at South by Southwest. Do you need to differentiate from what Foursquare is doing? How's that going?
I think that the space right now, because it's so hot, everybody does tend to lump, you know, the services together. Not just ours, but there's even other people that are going to be doing similar related things. I imagine in the next 6 months you'll see people differentiate themselves in unique ways. For us, you know, we come from a design background, so we have this metaphor, the passport, and these beautiful like passport stamps that you collect as you go places. And that's part of what we think makes Gowalla unique. The other thing that is unique for us is we're focused beyond just the act of checking in and sharing where you are. We want you to add photos, add comments, potentially add other, you know, video or other types of information beyond that.
Okay, and as the bigger guys take more of an interest in this, you know, Yahoo recently made an acquisition, maybe the bigger players are becoming acquisitive. What does that mean for Gowalla? Would you sell to a larger company, or is it too early to say? Or?
It's definitely too early to say. We're, you know...
Has the phone been ringing?
We're in Austin, Austin, Texas, and it's a fun place to be. It's full of a lot of great places and a lot of opportunity to build a young company without strings attached and to be experimental. And I would say that we're still very happy swimming in that pond at this moment. And I think that we are certainly going to pay attention to, you know, all the players in the space. But right now we're focused on growing the company.
And you talk about the strategy of playing with other networks like Twitter, feeding out to those networks. They maybe ruffled a few feathers this week with the advertising announcement. Is there ever a risk in budding up with an ecosystem like Twitter that you maybe fall foul of them at some point?
Well, that's where I think, again, for our part, we want to be agnostic about not just choosing to work with one over the next, but that we look for opportunities to distribute through all those channels, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Yahoo or Google or whatever the case may be.
That's all for this week. Thanks to Phil Ford, Keith Stewart, Robert Andrews and Josh Williams, and to our glorious producer, Scott Corley, for sewing this all together. Next week, Alex should be back from her volleyball action in the West Country with sand in all the wrong places. I'm Jemima Kish. Thanks for listening.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.